Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verses 1 to 35a. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel ordered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did not receive Isaac back from the death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more can I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Amen.
I'm doing a two-part series today and in 2 weeks' time on faith, and all around some of the stuff in Hebrews. And this is a fantastic chapter. The writer of the Hebrews is writing to probably a house church or a small church. And, of course, Hebrews, they were Jewish, so they would have known their Jewish history and tradition very well, hence a lot of the references back to Jewish history and people. But they've also been through some hard times. If you just go back and look at some of the stuff in chapter 10, it talks about how they suffered persecution and were insulted and publicly exposed. Their material possessions were confiscated and taken off of them. They went to prison and so on. And but he says that they didn't throw away their confidence and they will be richly rewarded. And then he talks about one who has promised will come, but my righteous one will live by faith and take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now that's the end of the previous chapter. So then he begins, now, and that now refers to the fact that we're not belonging to those who shrink back from their, what God has got for us. We're the ones who will stay faithful and see our salvation. So now he goes a great chapter of encouragement on faith. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I guess this is like not a promise. It's not a command. It's more like a little bit of a generalized statement, a proverbial statement that sort of summarizes what he's going to go on to. So we cannot say that we can have confidence in anything and it'll happen, but rather he's saying in what we hope for, certainly our eternal salvation, and the things of God that God has revealed to us, if we remain faithful to those, we can be confident that those things are going to work out and come to fruition. And our confidence actually enables us to continue steadfastly and confidently and in a relaxed way into the future that God has got for us, irrespective of what that might contain. Because if we're staying on track with God, then we're going to be working out for God's long-term eternal plan. And so then he goes, the writer, to talk about all these people who live that way and commending them. And in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made from what is visible. I guess this sounds a little bit confusing at first, but what he's saying is that God made this whole universe out of nothing. There was nothing. He made it. And there was a bit of a belief around at the time amongst the philosophers that the whole universe existed. God turned up and decided he liked this bit of earth and took this formless, shapeless nothingness, not nothingness, but mess, this chaos, and made it into order. Picking a little bit out of Genesis, it talks about some stuff like that. But this, the writer is making it plain that no, that it didn't exist and God turned up and fixed it and made it into something that was productive. God made the whole lot, spoke it into being. And so we see right at the beginning of Genesis and the beginning of John, you know, the word was spoken and all things came into being. And so it's just a little bit of a reference back to their understanding that part of our confidence is in the fact that the God we have confidence in is the God who spoke all of this into existence. And so therefore is in control, ultimately, of all of it and its destiny. And so he's just going right back to that foundational thing, that God is the creator of all things. Doesn't go into any details of how he did it or anything like that. Just reminding them of God, their creator. And then he begins to just cycle through so many people. And starts before the flood and then to Noah and then to the patriarchs, going slowly through some of their history that they would have thoroughly known and understood, because these were the Jews, these were the Hebrews that he's writing to. And as he's going through, he said, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, all these different things that we just heard. All of these people are commended for their faith. Reflecting on this in our home group on a Monday night, we always look at the passage that's coming up, and I get some good ideas and feedback from the members of the group as we're looking at it. And someone said, oh, but these were all great people that God spoke to and told them what to do, and they did those wonderful things because they really heard from God. And then we thought, well, were they? And we started to have a look at the list. And yes, some of them did have specific visitations from God, specific words from God, specific things that God spoke to them. But others just did faithfully what was the right thing, and they were commended for that. And we got people in there who just obeyed and did the right stuff. They weren't commanded by God in any special way, but they are now commended for their great faith. And so it is not just a list of people like Noah and Abraham and that, who God spoke to directly. There's also other people in there who are just pretty much were ordinary people until God, until they did something significant for God. And some of them were not very responsive to God. A lot of them were very resistant to the thing that God was saying to them, or they felt God was saying to them. Yet they were still commended, because in the end they did what was asked of them. And we can go through there and see men and women who were really commended because they lived a life in a way that God expected. Not to highlight too many of them, but there's Moses, for starters, was very reluctant, and God had to do some significant things to show him. And sometimes we do have God do circumstantial things in our life that direct us, and in that God speaks to us. Sometimes, some of you, I know, I once or twice in my life have felt God literally spoke to me about certain things. Others have never had that experience and yet are still faithfully doing the right stuff that we know and expect that God would expect of us. We can take the prostitute Rahab. She's in there. And I mean, God didn't speak to her at all. She's living in this town of Jericho, hearing about these people invading their territory, who are defeating all the people around them. The whole town was in total fear of the Israelites coming, fearing that they were going to overtake them and kill them all and take over their land. And yet what happened when the spies came in? She welcomed them into her home and provided them a refuge. And her response was, I've heard all these things that are going on and everyone's in fear. And I believe that they're in fear because your God is a true God that is giving you victory. And so she decided to be on the true God's side just from what she'd observed and heard around about them. And so her and her whole family were saved. And ultimately, if you read in Matthew, she becomes part of the genealogy of Jesus. Now, the only faith she had was to believe that these people that were coming to attack them were obviously the people who are serving the true God, because he was on their side.
So God didn't speak to her. She just observed and did something responsible to care for these people that she felt were God's people. And sometimes that's all we do. We just do what we think is right. We have something in our heart, some sense that this is the right thing to do, and God commends us for that. That is faith. So faith is all sorts of different responses, not just necessarily responding when God gives us a very, very specific and direct direction. And as I read through this list, I began to think, what are the implications for me? What are the implications for us as a church? And as I read through it, it was going, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we've got this history of what God's people have done. I'm just thinking, in my life, how would I sort of write a list that sort of says, you know, throughout my life, by faith, James this. By faith, James this. By faith, James this. And I immediately went to two or three occasions in my life where I felt that God really did give me some specific direction and so on. Then I began to think, but it's more than that. It's a whole lot of stuff that really, by faith, I chose to do this and not that because I knew it was the right thing to do. And I could, if I wanted to, make a list of things that demonstrate that I have faith in God. If we go back to verse 6 of the chapter, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because first we need to believe that he exists and rewards those who faithfully seek after him. And I think that's a key principle here. If we believe that God exists, we believe that God has done all the things he's done in creating, bringing a people through, sending Jesus, and Jesus died on our behalf, working in and through the church for two centuries since then. We believe and understand all that and want to be part of that, and we choose to live our life in that line of history, of God's history, then we are pleasing God. If we choose to ignore that, then we can't please God. If we don't believe that God exists, how can you please God? If we don't have faith in that first, that's the starting point, and work in a way that lives out our life to actually please God by having faith. So in those things that I would put on my list, they're not the natural talents and things that I normally would feel quite comfortable doing. They're all the things where I felt, this is taking me out of my comfort zone. This is not who I am, but God's wanting me to do something. I just sense God wants me to step out here and do something that if he doesn't show up, I'm going to look a fool. Or if he doesn't show up, this is going to be a disaster. And so I look back and I think about my life and I think, you know, I'm not like these great people, but I hope in many ways I've been a person of faith, because I have many, many times chosen to put myself in the awkward, for me, place, the difficult place, the place where I don't feel naturally that I can do this without God's help. And God has come and done amazing things. Now, I've shared bits of my story before, and I don't want to repeat some of that stuff, but as a real strong introvert who struggles to do stuff that actually connects to lots of people, God has always thrust me into places where I have to do that. Well, he hasn't thrust me. He's said, that's where I want you to go. And I said, well, no, Lord, I'm not that sort of person. I don't feel comfortable doing that. And yet God says, you know, in a sense, when I'm trying to understand what God's saying, I sense that God is saying to me, you need to step out and do that. I'm going to go back to some early stuff when I first became a Christian. It sort of began to set the scene for me, and God showed me some of this. I used to like hanging back and just always being in the background, still do, you'll notice that. And it's hard work for me to engage with people in conversation, especially people I don't know very well. And yet God's always putting me in situations where I have to do that. But going back there, I'd been a Christian for a while, really wanted to serve Jesus, and someone said to me, you should go on a Scripture Union summer mission. Scripture Union, mate. And I thought, oh, yeah, that sounds great. What are they, you know? And I said, well, there's two. There's children's ministry ones, and there's youth, young adult coffee shops that we run. This is in Victoria. And I thought, well, I'm not a kids ministry person, but, you know, I like hanging around teenagers. I was probably about 20 then, still quite shy. And anyway, I thought, oh, yeah, but it's not me. I mean, a coffee shop, you've got to go and sit down to and talk to people you don't know. I could never do that. And I wanted to put it off and put it off. I just felt God was saying, no, you need to do that. And so I decided to go in this coffee shop in fear and trembling, went to the training, and they did train us on how to talk to people. And that gave me a little bit of confidence. But still, I remember going there absolutely sweating that when I got there, it was in Barwon Heads in Victoria, over summer for a couple of weeks. And I just dreaded going into that place. I loved setting it all up, but when it came the first night to go out and sit and talk to people, I was petrified, literally petrified. And I just was praying, Lord, somehow help me to do this. And I'm looking around at all these other people confidently going up to tables. We had all these little tables set out talking to people. I'm thinking, I can't do it. So I went and sat at an empty table thinking, well, Lord, I can't do it. Maybe you'll send the people to me. And I sat there for ages, and eventually some kids come and sat down and started talking amongst themselves. And before long, I could join into their conversation. And that's been a bit of a tactic of mine always. Stand next to an extrovert, and soon you'll be drawn into a conversation. But over those 2 weeks, every night I went in there absolutely petrified. But I ended up having some amazing conversations about Jesus. And in 2 weeks, I led 2 young men to Jesus. The only person in that team who led anyone to Jesus. Now, I don't say that in any way to say credit to me being better than anybody else. But it was God showing me that despite the extroversion and everything of all these other people, because I was faithful to do what he wanted me to do and had to absolutely trust him, he would work through me. My faith was just trusting God in that little situation. And that began a journey for me where God was always thrusting me out of my comfort zone to do the things that are not natural for me. And I want to just share this as an encouragement to you, that faith is having confidence in the things that you cannot see. I couldn't see how I could do that. But in faith, I knew that if I did it, then God would work through me. And so I had to raise up the courage to actually act out the faith that God had given me. And that's the key thing. Will we rise up and live to the measure of faith that God has given us? In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, does anyone know what Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says? We probably know verses 1 and 2. That's about worship, your whole life being an act of worship. Someone look up verse 3. Okay, sober judgment in accordance with a measure of faith that God has given you, not someone else, you. And I had to come to terms with that. I saw people with great faith around me who just believed God for all sorts of stuff, and God seemed to do that. And, you know, some of these people we read here had amazing faith, great levels of faith. Others had simple, ordinary faith, just to trust God in doing some hospitality or whatever it was, receiving somebody in a way that was honouring to them and honouring to God. And so I had to come to terms with the fact that God didn't ask me to be like anybody else. He just asked me to live according to the measure of faith that he'd given me. And unfortunately for me, I think he gave me more faith than I was comfortable with. And so I had to often step a long way out of my comfort zone. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about the measure of faith that God has given you. Everybody has faith, and it's a gift from God. And so you're not called to be a Peter who jumps out of a boat and walks on water. You're just called to be you, to do what he's calling and asking you to do. And some of that might be very specific things in ministry. Some of it might be very ordinary things in just doing what you know is the right thing in the right situation because you know that's what God would require of you. To honour God by stepping out and faithfully doing the thing that you're called to do. I wonder if you could just think of one time when you feel felt, you acted according to the faith that God had given you. Just think back. Just think of one thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Something that you stepped out and did because you knew it was the right thing to do. I'm not going to ask you to share it right now, but I wonder if you'd feel like, as an encouragement to someone else, after the service or while you're having morning tea, say, you know what James was talking about? I had this experience, and you know, I stepped out and God did this. And just share as an encouragement. Because often we don't share and encourage others with the stories of the things that God has done in our life. You know, we talk about all sorts of things, how hard it was to get here with all the triathlon stuff or something. But what about a more uplifting and encouraging conversation over morning tea? Telling someone a story of how faith has impacted in your life and you've seen God bring you through in a situation. So there's a little challenge for you in terms of thinking about that. You know, I think it'd be good sometimes to reflect on, as a church, not just as an individual, how God has led us on a journey of faith. By faith, Kiwana Life Baptist Church did this. By faith, Kiwana Life Baptist Church did that. By faith, Kiwana Life Church, in obeying God, irrespective of whether we can see in the natural that this will work out or not, but if we sense God is doing it, stepping out. And I think we'd have some great stuff to put on that list from the stories I've already heard. And I think I'm here because you're a people of faith in many respects, because the bottom line is you could not afford to pay the salary when you asked me to come, but by faith you've stepped out and taken a step of faith. Now, I'm not saying, therefore, you've got to come up with the dollars. I just say I'm here because of your stepping out in faith and here to serve you. And I came by faith knowing that you couldn't afford me and being willing to come anyway, irrespective of what that might mean. And so there is faith elements in all of what we do as a church. And so I guess what I'm wanting to do over these couple of weeks is just really encourage you to think about living your life by faith rather than by what you can see in the natural. I think it's important to naturally assess what is the reasonable expectation of circumstances, but by the same token, that shouldn't limit us. We should be limited only by who God is, who has called us to do what he's called us to do. You know, Jesus said, you know, you don't go into war without first working it out. You don't build a tower without first ascertaining whether you've got the resources to do it. So there's natural thinking and planning needs to go into stuff, but also there is we have to step beyond that into the faith realm as well if we really want to live in the way God wants us to live. And I don't think that's necessarily going to be something that is beyond any of us. Because if God's given you a measure of faith, live up to that measure of faith. And in fact, Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed is a very tiny seed, is enough to move mountains. So we don't need a lot of faith to do some great things. Now, I don't think he was literally saying, if you've got that much faith, you'll tell that mountain to go into the sea. He was just saying, you don't need a lot of faith to do great things. That was the principle of that little story. So don't underestimate the faith that God has given you to achieve much greater things than you could ever, ever expect. So let's be challenged to be a people of faith, not people who limit themselves by their natural expectations. And so be praying every day, God, how can I live according to the faith measure that you've given me today? Are you going to give me an opportunity to speak for you, to act for you, to serve another, whatever that is? And Lord, just prompt me in my heart to know what the right thing to do in different situations is. And sometimes it's just making a good decision that's a godly one and not a natural one. And so let's be people of faith. Let's be people who, you know, we sang some great songs this morning. You know, stepping out, you know, going out of our depth. And that's where the faith realm is. And so sometimes God does ask you to be in places that are not your comfort zone. But he will be with you in that situation. One thing, and we'll talk more in the second part of this, is he doesn't guarantee you'll see the outcome that you would like. And in this part too, in this first part, all of these people were acting because they believed ultimately God had an eternal purpose for them. They were moving towards something that God had for them that in their lifetime they did not see. When God makes all things new and we live in his kingdom that is perfect, all of us will achieve that. So there's a sense in which all of us are not yet part of that. They were looking forward also to God coming and coming in Jesus, many of them. That's happened, but there's more to come yet. And so we're all looking forward, and we're all not going to see the fullness of everything that God's got for us until Jesus comes again and all things are made new. So there's that forward expectation, but there's also the present expectation of living in what God has for us now. So I'd like to pray for you that we would be a people of faith. Lord, I thank you that each one of us has a measure of faith. And it's the measure you've given us as an individual. And that you're going to cause us and call us to use that measure of faith to live and act in ways that show that we are trusting in God, not what we can see. That circumstances do not dictate all of our life. That there is a mighty God who is with us, for us, that is alongside of us and is calling us to cooperate with him for his eternal plans. And so, Lord, we want to be in that place, people of faith, people who will rise up above circumstance, choose to say, if God says it, I'm going to do it. Choose to say, if God's given me that prompting, I'm going to step out and to trust him. And that we would begin to see more and more of you at work in our lives and through our lives and see more and more of your kingdom come both in our church and beyond here. And so, Lord, we ask this in faith, expecting that you will come, stir us, challenge us, and cause us to be more and more the people of faith you've called us to be. We ask this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.